Good morning, Sir Jeff. Good morning, members of parliament, people who have visited us, and journalists, people from the media. We had said that we would have a closed meeting, but after some interaction with different stakeholders, we have agreed to open up the meeting. And we do have Minister Jeff Radebe, who is the head of the committee that is overseeing the work of the NCACC. You'll be mostly doing the talk today. There are other ministers that is expecting that have not yet arrived, but you know that they will arrive as you go on. Oh, good morning, Minister Kwela. Fine. So, now how we conduct our business here, it's like members of parliament know that we'll give the opportunity to the minister himself who's heading the committee to preside and give all the information available, and I would want members to take notes and to wait until he finishes presentation, and after his presentation will allow an opportunity for you to raise issues of clarity and to clarify yourself about the issues that are in front of us. There are two presentations that are in front of us today. Which means you'll be doing the introduction presentation of introducing how the NCACC is working and looking at the administration of the NCACC and some of the and the report of 2008 of the NCACC. Those are the two reports that are supposed to be in front of you. The minister is very friendly. He's a person who's quite upfront into taking some of the questions. And as you have already said, I've spoken to him last night. I really apologize because I informed him very late last night that we will be having an open meeting and that we have consulted with each other. Minister, you are welcome here in the committee, and we hope you'll be able to do your presentation. But I must say already, the fact that you have started on this note with some of us, giving us an opportunity to reflect on the NCACC, that is very encouraging. You'll hear it quite true from the number of members who are going to express that particular political view. Can I give over to you, Mr. Khan?
Thank you, Chair, and the members of the Portfolio Committee of Defense and Military Veterans. There are members of the NCACC who are with me, the Minister of State Security, Dr. Kwele, and some officials who are from the Secretariat of the NCACC. As you have correctly pointed out, Chair, that I'm going to be making two presentations arising from your letter of the 20th of August that you wanted an engagement with us as the NCACC to deal with what you regard it as an introductory meeting. So that's the main purpose why we were called here. But we thought that we should also share with you the annual report, which will be the second presentation. Without any further ado, I want to proceed with the presentation. There's somebody who's
Do you have the does members have the two things, the introductory and the report itself? That's fine.
In response to your request, Chair, that we have to have this introductory meeting, we have then prepared a presentation as the NCACC to address, amongst others, the introduction of the National Conventional Arms Control Committee. We're also going to be providing you with a brief overview of the functioning of this committee and how the committee is dealing with its support capacity, as well as what we have done as the new NCACC since we assumed office in July of this year. To start by indicating the legislative framework and mandate of this committee, as the members are aware, the NCACC is established in terms of Section 2 of the NCACC Act, which forms the basis for the NCACC's existence and operation. The mandate of the NCACC is to regulate the development, manufacture, trade, and transfer of conventional arms in South Africa. The Act also establishes various supporting structures. The Act also provides for detailed functioning of the NCACC. And over and above that, the committee also administers the Regulation of Foreign Military Assistance Act, the RFMA, and the Prohibition of Mercenary Activities Act. I noticed that the technician is not following. How is this committee composed? Many people are unaware that actually the NCACC is a cabinet committee sui generis, which is appointed specifically by the president. And it comprises 8 cabinet ministers and 3 deputy ministers. In terms of Section 5 of the Act, the position of chairperson and deputy chair is held by those ministers who do not have line function responsibility in respect of arms trade in our country. That is why I'm the chair, and the deputy chair is the Minister of Science and Technology, Minister Naledi Pandor. It consists as well of the Minister of Defense, Minister Sisulu, Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Kwana Mashabane, Trade and Industry, Minister Davis, Public Enterprises, Minister Hogan, State Security, Minister Gwele, Minister of Police, Mthethwa, Deputy Minister Ibrahim Makwetla, and Nene. There are structures of the NCACC in order to deliver on its mandate. We have created, in terms of the Act, the Secretariat, which provides administrative support. There is an inspectorate that looks after issues of compliance. There are various subcommittees that make recommendations to this committee. And over and above all these structures, our committee is also supported by various government departments and agencies, including the South African Police Services, Department of Defense, Department of International Relations and Cooperation, National Intelligence Agencies, the South African Secret Service, Trade and Industry, the National Prosecuting Authority, and Customs, to mention but a few. The way we function as a committee, in terms of procedure, we meet at least once per month to consider arms transfer applications that are lodged by the defense industry with the Secretariat. In deciding on many of these applications, our committee considers a whole range of factors that are specifically indicated in Section 15 of the Act, which are regarded as guiding principles. And on the basis of the consideration, the committee either approves or denies applications that are made before it. We also reserve the right to withdraw issued permits on grounds that we deem it appropriate. From time to time, the inspectorate have to inspect all the companies whether they are in compliance with the provisions of the permit. As it is very clear that we cannot deal with all these matters as this committee, so we delegate some of our powers particularly to the Secretariat in terms of Section 11. Then the Secretariat on a daily basis executes the decisions of the committee. What kind of penalty do we issue as the NCACC? Firstly, for any company to be considered, they have to register to be recognized as a manufacturer or a trader. So we require a registration permit before anything can be done. So a lot of vetting is done over those companies that apply. Then after they've registered with the committee, then we issue marketing permits, contracting permits to enter into specific contracts between those companies, export permits, whether temporary or permanent, import, whether temporary or permanent, and transit permits as well. But as a committee, we have a relationship with other agencies of government, and we function as part of a wider government system of arms control. The other agencies that are involved in the arms control, there is the South African Police Service Firearms Registry, which also administers the firearms control in respect of commercial firearms. We also have a relationship with the Non-Proliferation Council that administers the Non-Proliferation Act in respect of materials and equipment that we deal with as well. The Firearms Registry of the Department of Police seeks our authorization if certain thresholds have been reached. For an example, 10 per type or 20,000 rounds of ammunition, then they have to come to us to get authorization. Items also that have properties that lend themselves to both the NCACC and NPC are also subjected to these double controls. What are the categories of weapons that this committee is authorized to permit? So this is a tool that we use to understand the lethality of an equipment, and these are divided into various categories. Category A, which comprises of sensitive major conventional implements of war that would cause heavy personal casualties, and the examples of those under category A are fighter aircraft, submarines, explosives, missiles, bombs, artillery guns, tanks, weapons with a caliber of 12.7 millimeters and larger. Then there is category B, which comprises all types of handheld and portable assault weapons of a caliber smaller than 12.7 millimeters. And examples are the assault rifles, machine guns, ammunition for weapons, amongst others. Then there is category C, which comprises all support equipment usually employed in the direct support of combat operations that have no inherent capability to kill or to destruct, such as radio transceivers, radars, unmanned air vehicles, and simulators. Category D, comprising all purposely designed demining, mine clearing, and mine detection equipment, and all non-lethal pyrotechnical and riot control products such as mine detectors, riot control agents, flares. Then we have category E, comprising of those armaments and related products that are not allowed to be sold, such as anti-personnel mines, incendiary weapons, laser weapons. Then there's category G, comprising all purposely built armaments, manufacturing equipment, plants, facilities, and test ranges for the manufacture, development, maintenance, tanks, upgrade, refurbishment of armaments products. So those are the categories that we deal with. In terms of the Act as well, we are obliged as a committee to report to Cabinet, to report to Parliament, and also through this committee, as well as the United Nations. What are the challenges? In the period under review, this committee had to deal with the following challenges. The unexpected exponential growth of the defense industry business in South Africa, which has had an impact on the administrative capacity of the NCACC. In 1996, there were about 120 defense companies in South Africa. In the last financial year, there were 800, with an employment rate of almost 20,000 people. The handling of information that the NCACC deals with in terms of access, confidentiality, and risk. The other challenge is the realignment of the defense industry business through cross-Atlantic measures, acquisition, and partnerships. How are we dealing with these challenges? As the committee members should be aware, and I'm going to be dealing with that in my second presentation, that we have reviewed the administrative support with a view of drastically increasing the capacity to attend to all outstanding obligations. There has been a process through Parliament to amend the NCACC Act for purposes of dealing effectively with many matters such as measures and acquisition, promoting access to information with due regard to applicable sensitivities, facilitating the defense industry trade while promoting responsibility and accountability. I'll come to that point in my next presentation. What has the NCACC done? As you know, the new NCACC was appointed by the President to take effective office on the 21st of July 2009. We have, as this committee, dealt with all outstanding backlog that had arisen. We have considered and decided on contracting permits right in the four meetings that we have held as this committee to the value of 12.6 billion rand. The full details of all these contracts that have been authorized by the NCCC will be provided in the report that we are going to be compiling in line with the requirements of Section 23 of the Act. So you shall be having a detailed report of this in due course. So can I then move to the next report of the Arms Control? Annual report, and to acknowledge Minister Mthethwa, the Minister of Police, who is a member of the committee, has also joined us. I will not go through the introduction, merely to say that this annual report deals with the overview of the 2008 annual report that is being submitted to Parliament and covering the period from January to December of 2008. I will not deal with the legislative framework because nothing has changed, it's still the same. But in terms of the composition of the committee, because we're dealing with the 2008 annual report, as you know, the chair was Minister Mufamadi, the deputy chair was Minister Sonjika, with the other members, Minister Lekota, Erwin, Dlamini Zuma, Mpahlwa, Castries, Nagula, Mangena, and Deputy Ministers of this Pahad, Mulebi George, and Jabu Moleke. The structures are still the same, the functioning is still the same, and the legislative development, it's important to highlight that the Prohibition of Mercenary Activities Act was signed into law in November of 2007, and regulations to implement that act are pending promulgation by the President. The NCAC Act has thus indicated that there was an amendment to the Act of 2002 during 2008 and has been assented to by the President in April of 2009. At the moment, regulations to that effect are still being drafted. And the permits that have been processed in 2008 are as following. There were 54 marketing permits that were issued, 370 contracting permits that were agreed to, 2,965 export permits that were decided upon, 1,639 import permits that were issued, and 16 conveyance permits. In terms of the total value of this permit, you can see that for 2008, contracting permits to the tune of 19.5 billion rand, export permits 5.8 billion rand, import permits to 6.3 billion rand. You can see this, the significant contribution of the defense industry in the balance of trade in South Africa. The countries where we're exported to in terms of 2008 are Algeria, Angola, Argentina, Australia, Austria, Azerbaijan, Bangladesh, Belgium, Botswana, Brazil, Brunei, Bulgaria, Burundi, Canada, Central African Republic, Chad, Chile, Colombia, Croatia, Czech Republic, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Denmark, Djibouti, Egypt, Estonia, Finland, France, Gabon, Georgia, Germany, Ghana, Greece, Guinea, India, Indonesia, Iraq, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Jordan, Kazakhstan, Kenya, Kuwait, Lesotho, Libya, Madagascar, Malawi, Malaysia, Mauritius, Mozambique, Nepal, the Netherlands, Niger, Nigeria, Norway, Oman, Pakistan, People's Republic of China, Peru, Philippines, Poland, Portugal, Republic of Korea, Russian Federation, Rwanda, Saudi Arabia, Singapore, Slovak Republic, Slovenia, Spain, Sudan, Swaziland, Sweden, Switzerland, Taiwan, Tanzania, Thailand, Tunisia, Turkey, Uganda, Ukraine, United Arab Emirates, United Kingdom, United States of America, Venezuela, Vietnam, Zambia. If we compare the exports, you can see the rise from 2006, which was about 2.9 billion rand, rising to 4 billion rand in 2007 and 5.8 billion rand in 2008. So that's the information, Chair, that you required in terms of your letter of the 20th of August, which the committee is presenting before your committee. Thank you very much for your attention.
Can we again welcome Minister Nathi to our committee now. Members of Parliament, there is the information that has been provided by the NCACC to you. So I'm going to allow you to interrogate the report as it is presented to you. That is David Neymir. Let me see if there's other members of Parliament who've got questions. Captain Roof. Okay. Can I start with David?
Oh, sorry.
And then you'll come up.
Okay.
Fine. So the minister, other ministers will help you answer it.
Sure, that's right.
Thank you, Chair. Could I begin by saying that it's very welcome indeed that the minister has taken time out to attend this committee and to make the presentation. I think that it's a step in the right direction. I've said this on many occasions. The minister is the new minister. Much of what I alleged did not arise on his watch, and I hope that he will be the new broom that sweeps clean at the NCACC. I think the minister has taken a step in the right direction, for example, by refusing to authorize the deal in respect of thousands of Aviator G-suits to Iran, and I think that it's very refreshing indeed and very welcome that the minister has tabled the annual report and has undertaken in advance to make that annual report available to the public as the Act requires. And I say that given the fact that for the last 3 years, the annual report has been tabled before Parliament, but it has been classified in contravention of the Act and it has not been made public. So I really do think that that is a step in the right direction, and I think that that ought to be recognised by committee members and members of the public. Chair, I've got 6 questions that arise out of the minister's briefing. They are not the real substance of the issues that I'd like to raise. How would you like me to handle this? Would you like me to put the 6 questions to the minister, the 6 questions of clarification, or how would you like me to proceed?
I thought that you're a member of the committee. Don't be too long, but pose your questions.
Just, Minister, questions of clarification. In respect of the scrutiny committee, can you confirm that the scrutiny committee is a subcommittee of the NCACC and therefore, in terms of the Act, always meets with one or more ministers present? That's the first question of clarification. Second, you mention in your presentation that on occasion the NCACC may withdraw permits. Were any permits withdrawn during the period of under review, and if so, in respect of what types of weapon systems, countries, and value? Also, you refer to the different kinds of permits. Could you give this committee some clarification of what level of authorization is required in respect of each permit? For example, if a particular company wanted to exhibit a particular type of conventional arm in a country, for example, such as North Korea, who would and at what level, what type of permit would be required and at what level would that permit be authorized or refused? You also mentioned in your presentation that there are, on occasions, in respect of certain kinds of weapon systems, double controls where you bring in the NPC. Did that arise at any point during the period under review? And then finally, Minister, you make your proposition is that because of an increase in business, the NCACC and the Secretariat are under have a capacity constraint. But what's interesting, it seems to me, if you look at the data, at least in respect of exports, exporting permits and contracting permits over the last 3 or 4 years, 2005 to 2008, the number of contracting permit applications and the number of contracting permits issued, as well as the number of export permit applications and the number of export applications issued is actually fairly stable over the period, even although the deal value has increased fairly significantly. So it seems to me that what the data supports an alternative proposition that the number of applications being considered is fairly stable, although the average value per deal seems to be increasing fairly substantially. Thank you, Minister.
Over to Dr. Ngoof.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the Minister. And thank you for the presentation.
sir, in the first presentation, you talk about three challenges. I just want to hone on two, the last two ones. Handling of information that the NCACC deals with in terms of assess confidentiality and risks. If you can expand on that, I will appreciate it very much. The second one is realignment of the defense industry business through cross-Atlantic mergers, acquisition, and partnership. I would like to expand on that so that you will know exactly what we are talking about. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks, David and Kacheni, for your input. I'm happy that he has recognized that something positive is being done, which is much appreciated. As some of the issues happened before the current NCACC came, I'll also request my colleagues or the Secretariat to provide some of the answers. But in terms of the first question of the Scrutiny Committee is a subcommittee of the NCACC, and it comprises of relevant government departments, such as the Department of Defense, International Relations and Cooperation, the Department of Trade and Industry, National Intelligence Agency, and the Secret Service. So they are the ones that scrutinizes every deal from a different perspective to ensure that the national interest of the government can be taken care of. So since we came into office on the 21st of July 2009, none of the ministers has had been party to those meetings of the Scrutiny Committee. But however, in all the meetings that we've had thus far, we had had detailed report from the Scrutiny Committee, so that before we take any decision, we have to get a detailed report from each government department as to their perspective and their own recommendation before we take a decision. In terms of withdrawal of permits, I think the Secretariat will be able to respond to that question. The different kinds of permits, as I've indicated, that the first permit is the registration, so there is no decision that we'll ever take as this committee unless the company's consent are registered with us. So that's the critical permit. So the second one is one of marketing, that we issue marketing permits to many companies based on the applicable guidelines, and also they undertake that after they've marketed their products, we need to ensure that those equipment that have been exported are brought back to South Africa. So those are the different types of measures that we make sure that they happen. So if, for example, we've issued a marketing permit, the company cannot just on the basis of the marketing permit conclude a deal with a company, let's say in the UK. They have also to apply for a contracting permit. So, but that contracting permit, as the NCACC, we have delegated that authority to the Secretariat. So it is linked to the marketing permit, and then after that, then we delegate it to the Secretariat. In terms of the double control, as I've said, that there's a close working relationship between this committee and the Department of Police. So if they want to export any of the arms above a certain threshold, each and every transaction has to come to the NCACC for us to scrutinize and also to approve or deny. That we have done in many instances. So I thought I should indicate that. In terms of capacity, I think I was not there, but I assume that the previous committee of parliament, together with the the committee of the NCACC, they assessed and they felt that they needed to amend the act so that we can be able to increase the administrative capacity of the committee in order to execute its legislative mandate. Kajeni, in some of these contracts, as I understand, there are confidentiality clauses amongst the companies themselves. So the committee looks at those clauses as well and makes a determination whether it will be able to abide by those confidentiality clauses. So in many instances in the past, as I understand it, the committee has accepted some of those confidentiality clauses that is there amongst the contracting parties themselves, and the Act also provides for that. So I'll ask the Secretariat or my colleagues to deal with the other questions that have been raised.
No, thanks, Chair. But it's just to emphasize that, as the Minister is saying, when it comes to contracting permits, and permits particularly as the issue of authority has been addressed at NCACC, only in instances where it's delegated to the Secretary, but the authority rests with NCACC. Thanks.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just to respond to the question related to the withdrawal of permits, because it's a question that has not been answered. The answer to the question is, when a permit is issued, obviously it's issued because of certain grounds being considered. There could have been suitable conditions in a particular country. But as the delivery periods of a particular equipment happens, you may find that circumstances may change, given the fact that there could be war, there could be instability. The NCACC therefore reserves the right to say, given the recent development in the country, though we issued a permit last year, we would therefore wish to withdraw the permit given the arising circumstances. Thank you.
Yeah, just to add to that, for an example, I'm sure David will recall my answer, or rather our public statement, that there were times where there was no United Nations arms embargo against Iran, and then there were some permits that were issued for companies to do some demonstration there in Iran. But the moment that United Nations Security Council issued an arms embargo against Iran, then we declined to authorize any permits. Same with the North Korea. That's why we declined the G-Suite, which was being applied for in our first meeting of this NCACC.
I've taken note of you, but I almost also keep my number. I'll give you Ayanna, Honorable Ayanna, and I'll give you. Sir?
The last one, the Royal Alignment.
Yeah, oh yeah. Can you?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think what we're talking about, when you're talking about mergers and acquisitions, the arrangement of the defense industry in the past is not similar to the arrangement that you see at the present moment. In the past, you had a situation where companies were largely manufacturing an equipment from beginning to end. But that situation has since changed. You therefore find that now the defense industry is arranged in the format of a value chain, where different companies therefore provide different equipment at different points in time. And the design of the law in 2002, at that time, there was still this one company, one process. But given the change of circumstances, there is a requirement for us to be able to address if a company comes into a value chain arrangement with another company in the US, in the UK, and all of that, what are the implications for the arms control regime? Because it would be unlike a company which is in South Africa only. if there is a project being run by companies in USA, UK, Germany, and South Africa, what becomes the role of South African Arms Control Authority in respect of that? Because we have to be able to therefore come into arrangement with other arms control authorities in those countries to ensure that all that is happening within that value chain arrangement is indeed within the provisions of the law, either South African law or German law or any other law that may be applicable. So I think the amendment to the Act, we're largely making provision for the NCCC to be able to comprehend and deal with those matters. Thank you, Chair.
I think the example is one of Danel, the arrangement between Danel and Rheinmetall, where certain things happening in South Africa, others in Germany, and so on, or where a product is provided to France, and then another company has to put maybe an IT system on the already system that is there.
I start with you, Ayanda, then I come to you, Honorable Member, and I'll come back to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. One of part of the mandate of the NCACC is that of regulating the Foreign Military Assistance Act and also the Mercenary Activities Act, but the report does not seem to cover that. It does not cover the budget of the committee as well, if there is such a budget, and therefore does not say anything about expenditure from that point of view. We have seen South African companies involved in mercenary activities all over Africa and in certain parts of Latin America. Maybe in the next meeting you would be able to report on some of the things that have been done to curtail those kind of activities, but also the identification of companies that get involved in mercenary activity, because I think it's important. One of the things that... Part of the reason why I raised this, Minister, is that you also have security companies that procure large number of arms, but one is not sure what happens when those companies fold, whether the arms are then deregistered and destroyed or what actually happens. Because urban legend has it that some of the companies that deregistered a few years ago did not necessarily hand in their weapons or destroy the weapons that were procured. Now, my problem is that you might find that some of these weapons have made their ways to countries where mercenary activity from South African companies exists. It's another area that I would like the ministers responsible here to have a look at this and report back to the committee in due course. I think the chairperson will arrange that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the process according to the Act is one thing and so on. But what I want to know from the Honourable Minister is that, for instance, the Act stipulates that in considering the approval of an application, for instance, the criteria is that a country should not be guilty of any human rights violations. Now, my question to the Honourable Minister is that, how do you committee, how does the NCACC determines whether a country is guilty of human rights violations? Because maybe the NCACC doesn't think there are any human rights violations, but I think there is. So, what is the criteria the NCACC follows to determine that? The second question is, there are also certain requirements as far as the end user is concerned. Do you really send people out to see and ensure that the end user use the weapons accordingly to the application? How do you go at work to ensure that? Because, I mean, we've got an example here that said that, yes, the NCACC, for instance, could have approved an application, but then in the next year, that country became violent, or there were some violent activities in there, and then it is not approved the next year. But then, say, after 2 years, we have peace in that specific country. Do we then decide that, okay, there's now peace in that country, and then we will approve another permit again? What is the way and what is the criteria from the NCACC as far as that is concerned? Thank you.
Minion, can I give you a guess?
Thank you, Chair. Again, just clarification on my questions of clarification before we move on to the real substance. Just to the Minister, I want to be clear. In respect to the temporary export permit, what level of authorization is required? In other words, what I'm driving at, is it possible for a company to exhibit or demonstrate military support equipment in a country, for example, like North Korea, without the NCACC actually having approved that? In other words, that powers to authorize those kinds of permits have been delegated to officials. That's really what I'm driving at. The second thing is on permits refused. My question was, were permits refused during the period under review? And if so, how many and in respect of what countries?
I think the points by Ms. Jojo are well taken. It is part of our mandate to look at that. Issues of mercenary activities, but up until now, as a committee, we have not yet dealt with that. But maybe the Secretariat can explain if the previous committee has dealt with that. But we can be able, if there is information, can provide at the next meeting of the committee, if any. In terms of the expenditure of the committee, as you will know, that the expenditure is done through the Department of Defense. The Secretariat, all the work is being done through the Department of Defense. So their budget, knowing what kinds of things that we need to do in terms of the MTEF. In terms of the human rights and so on, I just wanted to indicate to the Honourable Member that we are guided by Section 15 of the Act. So if there are any concern from our side that if we were to give a permit, we'll be violating the guiding principles, we will not do so. So that is why even related to your second question of the end user, we need to have a written confirmation as to who the end user will be. If, for an example, Company X sells to Company A in France, the Company A in France will have to make a commitment as to the end user. If that changes, it has to come back to the NCACC for authorization. There have been instances where there had to be changes, that, but it has to come into the NCACC. So if in a country X, there's been a human rights violation and we've refused a permit, if in a few years' time the situation has changed, it will come back to the committee. That's why we have the scrutiny committee, including relevant government departments like international relations and cooperation, who it is their mandate all the time to scan the international environment as to what is happening in each country. And over and above that, we have the South African Secret Service, which also provides extensive information to the committee before we can take any decision whatsoever.
Sorry, Chairperson, am I clear on that? So you are actually guided by that, by Foreign Affairs and by, for instance, the National Intelligence Agency,
among others. There is a scrutiny committee of international relations, cooperation, national intelligence, trade and industry, South African Secret Service, Department of Defense itself, and others. On the issue of a temporary permit, there's no permit whatsoever that can be issued without authorization from the NCACC. That is why from the beginning we have to know if a person has to go to La Bourget in Paris to demonstrate there, they have to ask our permission first, and they tell us when it's going to be returned. That's why we also even speak about export permit and import permit, and we work very closely with immigration to make sure that no weapons can leave the country unless they are properly authorized through this NCA. So those are the measures. So I think if Lata can explain again if there have been any permits that have been refused in the past.
Minister.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I think just the important point raised by Ms. Lotto on the mercenary activities. It is important that, as the chair said, the act was only promulgated this year, and they were in the process of finalizing the regulation for that monitoring. In terms of the Foreign Military Assistance Act, our understanding, there were no applications last year, so that's why there's nothing written about it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just to respond to the question that says, were there permits that were refused last year? The answer is yes. But we don't have the information at our hands at the present moment. But there were applications that were turned down, largely because there were certain conditions in the countries where the equipment was supposed to go to, which did not warrant an authorization. For instance, if there were UN resolutions on a particular country, a company in South Africa can apply to export to that country, but you can't export because there are those resolutions or other factors that may be applicable. So the answer, Chairperson, is that there were applications turned down. But we can come back to the committee with details of the countries that were implicated in that. But on the issue, Chairperson, if I may, the issue of temporary export permits, I think I have to just underscore the point that the delegation that the NCCC issues to the secretariat or any other person working under the auspices of the committee does not absolve the NCCC of the responsibility. The NCCC remains responsible in the ultimate end. But in the exercise of the delegation by the secretariat in respect of temporary export permit, what the secretariat therefore does, it circulates the application for an export permit to all relevant departments, as indicated by the chair of the NCCC. We receive specific input from all relevant departments, from Foreign Affairs, from Intelligence, and across government. And on the basis of that, if the input that we receive is positive, therefore we look at the parameters set by the NCCC, because we are not operating outside of parameters set by the NCCC. And we therefore, on the basis of that, would issue. But if there are areas of uncertainty that we have, we consult and seek the advice of the NCCC on that. I would not wish to deal with the issue of Iran, but the principle and the process is generally like that. Thanks, Chairperson.
Can I go back to Kabade? Is there any other member of the committee? Come back again. I'll come back to you.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks to the presenters. This has been very educational. But I was interested in this value chain. This was one company design. It might sound good. It's good. Let me not say it might sound good. It's good because surely you allocated a lot of your time, a lot of your thinking on it. But not necessarily today. Can you really check in terms of the advantages and disadvantages, which maybe you did it even before? And maybe I'm saying this thing looking at the designing of a dress, which might look very simple. But when one is doing the arm of this dress, the other one doing this, and you are supposed to go and collect the whole dress, and the issues, sometimes all this fixation doesn't equal to what we wanted to be. How does you undo the whole of this
and where would you really locate whether this person who put this wrong arm was doing it deliberately or it's just a human mistake? It might not be today's response, but I'm just requesting that the advantages and disadvantages that are scrutiny because we're dealing with people's lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and many thanks to the Minister or Ministers for this valuable information. Mine is just one question. It seems, Mr. Minister, that only states or countries are the recipients of South African arms. From your presentation, it's more of a trade. Your breakdown was in rands and cents. And I asked myself, what about liberation movements across the globe? What about those people who are fighting for freedom in their lands? Are they legitimate recipients of South African arms? Or we only have price tags on the arms and we attach no moral or historical value? Thank you.
Can I come back to you, Ayana?
No.
You covered. Can I come to you, Ayana?
Chair, I said earlier that I wanted to deal with questions of clarification first. I now have 10 cases that I want to discuss in detail. But could I don't know how you'd like me to deal with it. I don't think it's possible to deal with all 10 in one go. I think it would possibly just overwhelm the Minister because there's so many questions inside each of those deals. But could I start with two which I think are absolutely vital? And I say that because those deals, at least at the beginning of last month, were deals that we understand were pending before the NCACC and may well have already been dealt with at the meeting on the 27th of August. And the two cases, in the first case, I mean, we alleged that there was a deal pending authorization by the NCACC to export thousands of 7.62mm sniper rifles to Syria. Now, in your statement on the 6th, you said that there was a contracting authorization request still to be considered by the NCACC. That was in your statement on the 6th. And in the after 8th debate on the 7th, you confirmed that authorization request was, in fact, in respect of sniper rifles. Now, my question to you is, has the NCACC considered this permit application, and has it refused or, in fact, authorized the deal? The second case, of course, is Zimbabwe. We alleged that there was a deal pending authorization by the NCACC to export more than 1 million rounds of 9mm ammunition and more than 1 million rounds of 7.62mm ammunition to Zimbabwe. In your statement on the 6th, you confirmed that a contracting permit for rounds of ammunition is still being considered. And again, my question to you, has that contracting or export permit been considered by the NCACC, and has it been either authorized or refused? Chair, I'll come back to the remaining 8 cases later.
You know, I'll give you an opportunity all the time that you have some issues that you want to raise. But as long as you also keep around the report that is presented to us, so that we don't overstep. But can I have you start on Dovo before the answer?
Can you just switch that? Now, in the follow-up, what Mkawadilo was saying, Chairperson, not for today, I think I will be very much interested to know the realignment of the countries. Not for today, Minister and Ministers, President Gulad, not for today, but in answering what the dress look like and the leg and the whatever look like. Who are those that we're talking about? Something like that. So that it will, at the end, it will combine the whole picture of the, what we're dealing with. Thank you very much.
Yes. Oh, my minister is ready here to answer. That's why we are come to Parliament. Yeah. I think on the value chain, the Secretariat will provide more details. I think the Parliament will also be part of the process because we are also dealing with the drafting of the regulations, so that the more information that will be coming, so that we can be able to exchange it. On the issue, do my colleagues want to answer that part about national liberation movements? I thought it was more a statement than stroke comment than an answer, soliciting an answer from us. I can only say that we are noting your comments. I'm sure outside the confines of this meeting we can discuss it. And then on the issue, the questions by David. The letter from your committee wanted us to deal with the issues of introductory meeting and also to deal with the annual report of 2008. So I don't think it will be appropriate for me to go through each and every transaction that we have taken, that we have authorized or not authorized. I've indicated in the presentation that we are going to provide this committee with a report of precisely what we have done since we came on the 21st of July. When the time comes for us to report either in terms of the quarterly report or the annual report in terms of Section 23 of the Act. So I don't think I want to answer that question except to refer David to the media statement that the NCCC issued on the 6th of August after the allegations that the DA had made. We had provided a comprehensive response to each and every, North Korea, Libya, Zimbabwe, and so on. That response is as valid today as it was on the 6th of August. Mm-hmm. Ukacheni, can you respond? Also, okay. All right, yeah.
How do you feel about that answer, David? We have agreed that on issues that are going to come back when he has to report, again we'll go back to that. But he's not dealing with what is currently in front of us. Okay.
I'm obviously disappointed by the response. I don't think that they're really reasonable and justifiable grounds as the Constitution requires in an open and democratic society not to disclose that information. But the minister has obviously made his decision, and I must accept that. Can I move then on to my other case?
On that one, David. I won't leave. I think it's totally inappropriate for you to insinuate that we're trying to not to provide meeting to Parliament. There is a letter of the 20th of August,
yes,
signed by your chairperson, that you want to discuss an introductory meeting, how we are working as the NCACC. And subsequent to that, the chairperson also wanted a report on the annual report of 2008. That's precisely what we've provided. If the committee wants the details, the chairman, through the chairman, must tell us so that when we come here, we're prepared. Cannot just, on the basis of a question, just respond off the cuff as to what has happened to Syria. I'm sure we are going to come with North Korea. They are going to come with Libya, it's very clear. They are going to come with Venezuela and so on. So if the committee wants a debate on all those countries, we are very much capable of responding to that. But it must be a proper meeting so that we know what the agenda is.
Okay, please.
Yeah.
two from other members who have spoken here who understand exactly what's the mandate of this meeting, because that would help both in terms of preparation but also to be very focused and objective and sensational on matters like this. So I suggest that what members have been saying, both from Ukatjeni and others, Ms. Lolo, this is what we should do. We should follow that, because what we want are the facts, are something well prepared, so that we respond to the committee in that manner. Thank you.
Just to emphasize that we remain very committed as the chairperson and minister to be accountable to Parliament. But I think we should be very careful that we don't give an impression that whatever decision the committee must do it in consultation with certain members of the committee, because that's not the mandate of the members of the Parliament to be part of the decision of the executive. We have the executive come and account. But if we have to come and account for each and every transaction, and this transaction happens almost every day, then we really make it quite difficult for us to be able to fulfill our mandate to be responsible and accountable to Parliament. I really urge the members of the committee. Thank you.
Chairperson, in understanding the comment that was made by Honourable Mpahlele, I'd like to request the chairperson to not open the meeting to issues that are of a moral call to the committee and in the way that this issue should be handled. Because I think if we're going to move in that direction, maybe the committee must have a discussion on the morality of some of the deals that we go through, because for some of us, we could ask the very same question on the minister and it might not help us on the United States, for instance, and its gross human violation record throughout the world. The same could be asked of the United Kingdom. And I would really not want the committee to degenerate into a contest of ideology, because it's not going to help us. Thank you.
I hope, David, you stick to whatever agreed upon, that we are dealing with 2008 report. We don't go beyond that one. Can I give Mr. Kronabalt now? I've taken note of what Honorable Dodo has said.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a question for general knowledge. Can I ask the Honorable Minister for Intelligence? According to the Secret Services, is Zimbabwe at the moment a country of human rights violations or not?
Okay, Babundu. I'm still sharing here, Tati Mlange. Okay, no, that's fine. Okay, can I ask Tati Mlange to come on board?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I want to support what Ms. Dodo is saying. We mustn't create an impression where we think we can do everything at the same time. We must be very careful, ministers and ministers, of what we are dealing with. I think when the minister referred to the letter, I think he was taking it step by step, because there are questions that we ask, and then we say they cannot be answered today, just because we are trying to be in line of what we want to do at the end of the day. Therefore, it should be very, very, very careful of what we want to do at the end of the day. We mustn't be seen as if we are talking on a different platforms here when we are dealing with the safety of the country and the safety of the people. We are dealing with the lives of the people, firstly, and secondly, we are dealing with countries. Therefore, we must know what we are dealing with. I'm just saying to the chairperson, must be very careful of how we're raising these things and so on. Thanks.
I think there's a clear understanding of how we had worked out on how we're going to handle the NCACC, and we have then said that we would not get into issues that they have not prepared for. That's an agreement that we have taken. We'll have an open meeting, but we'll also be keeping to what is. We've asked the minister to come and present. And whoever's got other questions, there will be a follow-up session when those questions will be
attended to in the manner that we have, are being expected of them to be attended to. So I would really want members to stick to what we've agreed upon, you see. Not because we want to suppress anybody. I would like everybody to speak, but I also have to protect the minister, not to where we start raising questions that he has not prepared himself for. I would really want to ask members to be quite reasonable when we take this particular approach. Can I start with you, Maynard, if you have a question?
Chair, arising from the minister's statement, our job is to hold the executive branch of government to account, and in my view, we are not doing that. But given what the minister has said, I would propose then that this committee meets the NCACC at the soonest opportunity to discuss in detail all the deals in the 2008-2009 financial year, the 2008-2007 financial year, 2006-2005 financial year, and that we specifically have on the agenda countries such as Syria, Zimbabwe, Iran, Libya, Venezuela, Somalia, Sudan, Burma, and North Korea.
United States.
Can I have order, please? Can I have order? Are you okay, ma'am?
You finished? And I would propose.
I'm coming to you, Tatu.
No, can I come in?
I beg your indulgence on this matter.
Yes.
One, have we finished what we want to ask the minister? Firstly. Secondly, have we dealt with the report? If we're finished with that, can we then talk as a committee now? Because I think what is happening now, it doesn't go to the members of the NCACC. It goes to us. Because as my brother is saying, United States, United Kingdom, somebody else will come with somebody else and so on, and the list will be long. Is that what we want? or have we dealt with what we want? I'm trying to itemize our meeting so that it won't degenerate into something else. We end up not knowing exactly where we are. And then when we leave this meeting, we ask ourselves, what really happened there? We don't want to do that.
No, I think I've given the outline, and I've interacted with David quite a lot to let him understand what is the purpose of this particular meeting. But, you know, you can't prejudge somebody until somebody puts his view on the table. But I would still persuade you, David, to understand that if there's no other thing new related to the report, we'd have to come to the closure of the meeting so that we don't start generating issues around here, which I've spoken to you to say that we should not do that. We should find each other based on what we've asked the minister to come in. And you see, to want to exaggerate and bring it up to the level of saying, yes, if the executive doesn't want to account, the executive is here in front of us. And just presented the report to us. So they are here to come and look at what Parliament, and we can make them to account. But we should not also disorganize them, and they'll start raising new issues when we can't apply our mind on the issues that they presented in front of us. So I would really persuade members to desist from that. It's quite exciting to see the executives and want to speak to you, but also hold your horses in a particular way.
And 3 ministers, no khan.
No khan, I'm telling you. Dr. B. Pajan, can I give?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, we all know that when it comes to arms deals, that it is a very sensitive issue. And I want to ask the Honourable Minister as Chair whether it's possible for them to consider, I say consider, I don't have to do it, but to handle this issue of sensitivity, can they consider, for instance, that at the beginning of a specific year, that the NCACC can give a list of those countries that, according to the NCACC, they think are countries where they are, say for instance, according to the criteria, is not suitable to do any armed deals with. That everybody knows who are these countries. So then we know that this is the criteria that was applied, and these are the countries. We may differ on the countries, you've just heard. But I think to handle this sensitivity in a certain way, can they consider to do such or compile such a list, even if they give it to the committee, that we as members of the committee know, listen, the moment we hear of whether there's an arms deal with a specific country which is on the list, that the NCACC can come and say, no, please come and explain. First it was on the list of a country, for instance, violating human rights. What has changed that we can do deals with those countries? I think that, in a certain sense, will take the sensitivity in a certain matter out of the whole issue. Thank you.
Can I give you a last chance, Minister?
Chair, I just want clarity. I have 8 cases still to deal with. I would like to put those questions to the Minister, and the Minister is then entitled to either answer those questions or not, as he chooses. But I would like to deal with these 8 cases. The Minister may find something in my questions which he is prepared to answer.
Let's stick to what we have provided. I think other members also feel that we should be accommodative of each other. And this is not the end of the term. I mean, we're still going to get back to the Ministry. And even in the concern that Grunewald is expressing, we are going to work it within, I mean, in the committee itself, and make a presentation to the Ministry so that when they come back again, all the other questions are being attended to. I'm not closing you out. I'm just saying that you will have an opportunity to deal with this matter at a later stage. If it's like this now, at this present moment, you seem to be satisfied with the report that has been provided, it does call on the chairperson to close the meeting so that it doesn't degenerate into something that we couldn't control at all. But I'll give the Minister as the last one to talk on this particular issue.
I just wanted to respond to Mr. Grunewald's suggestion that we will discuss it as the NCACC. But Mr. Grunewald also needs to take into account that the first guideline on Section 15 is that we take our decision on a case-by-case basis. So I think, just thinking aloud, I'm not saying on behalf of the committee, but if we were to take such a blanket approach that on the 2nd of September 2009, we hereby declare the following countries that will not deal with full stop, and then the whole South Africa, they cheer. And then on the 4th of September, something drastic happens there. Then we come back and said, no. What we said 2 days ago is no longer applicable. So I thought maybe there was a good reason why the case-by-case assessment criteria was the first item on the agenda. But as I've said, there is a scrutiny committee that meets all the time, amongst others, the Secret Service. They will tell us if there's something wrong in country X and so on. So those are the checks and balances that we work with. But as I've said, I'm not thinking for the committee, but we'll put it before the committee.
Any other ministers? You're fine. That's good. Honourable members, as we have been saying that, and quite clearly the minister has been indicating that he is in a position to answer most of the questions, and that's why we've written to them. We must really thank them that they have come to Parliament and be able to interact with us over these issues. Our relationship doesn't end here. These ministers are quite accountable. They'll always come back to us. We must really thank them for being able to come and sit in front of us. Whatever any other issue that arises from here, my office is always open, David, for us to interact and see what we are going to do in relation to this matter. But can I thank everybody that has come in today, the media and some of the diplomats. But thank you a lot. Bye-bye. The end of the meeting. I'm
Thank you. Okay.